Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Clarence Thomas and other justices made it clear in their dissents that the law cannot be that what Barack Obama has done, Donald Trump and no other president can undo. There cannot be two sets of rules allowing Barack Obama to issue decrees by memo and forcing Donald Trump or other Republican presidents to jump through all kinds of legal hoops to undo those decrees. What simply has to be the case is that there is one set of rules for both parties, for both presidents, and Chief Justice Roberts continues to rule in ways that seem designed to minimize criticism from Democrats and from the media.
Sure seems like it. Senator Tom Cotton there, in case you didn't recognize the voice, talking about the SCOTUS decision yesterday. I was interested in this because we've been talking about DACA and what it is and what it isn't and what it does and what it doesn't do for years now. And Congress has completely balked on fixing the problem if they had wanted to do it. And then we came up with this awful plan by Barack Obama to do it by executive fiat. My friend Mark Kerkorian has been part of that conversation with me here for the past few years. He is executive director at the Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you on. You know, what was your initial reaction? Were you as slack-jawed as the rest of us when this opinion dropped yesterday?
Yeah, I was, and maybe I shouldn't have been because this is a John Roberts special. If your listeners remember, he upheld Obamacare by saying that the insurance mandate that in the law was not a tax, he upheld it by saying, well, I consider it a tax, therefore this is lawful. Well, he did a similar thing here with the DACA, because Obama justified DACA by saying, look, this isn't a program. We're not giving them anything. We're just basically looking the other way, except that they're giving them work permits. So that what the Supreme Court said, written by John Roberts and the four other Democrats joined him, is that we can hear this case, because that was the first question, whether the courts can even hear it. We can hear this case because it's not just looking the other way, but in fact an affirmative immigration program that give benefits, which Obama said it isn't, because if it were, it would be illegal. So in a sense, the Supreme Court acknowledged that it's illegal, but just kind of went on from there and said, yeah, but the Trump people can only withdraw it by jumping through all kinds of hoops, even though it was just made up with a memo. It's not even an executive order, just a memorandum.
Yes. Yeah, it's a good point. You know, I noticed that Andrew Arthur wrote an analysis of this on your webpage, cis.org, and I loved what he said here. I just analyze Supreme Court decisions. I can't always explain them because sometimes they defy explanation. To me, this seemed as black and white as either a president who can cancel a previous executive order, or he can't.
Yeah, I mean, and again, it's not even an executive order. That's my point. It was Secretary Napolitano, who's now runs the University of California system. She was head of Homeland Security, Secretary of Homeland Security, and she sent a memo to her subordinates saying, okay, you know, we're not going to, don't deport these people, and by the way, give them work permits, Social Security numbers, and all the rest of it. It was an amnesty that they said wasn't an amnesty. And what the Supreme Court basically said is that even though it was just made up, and we're not even going to decide whether the Attorney General was right in saying that it was illegal from the beginning, from the get-go, you still, Trump administration, have to do X, Y, and Z in explaining why you repealed this program. And this is the kicker, they actually did that in a follow-up memo explaining why they canceled the program. And the Supreme Court said, no, we're not going to read that follow-up memo that does all of the things that we said it needs to do. We're only going to look at the first memo that withdraws the earlier memo. I mean, it's ludicrous. It was basically just an excuse to not make a politically difficult decision. Like I said, this is what John Roberts as Chief Justice does. He is a political actor, not a legal actor. And Thomas and Alito, in their dissents, really slammed him on this. But he keeps doing it.
Yeah, yes, he does. Mark Krikorian, my guest at the Center for Immigration Studies. Did it, in your opinion, having read this and read some of the analysis, did they kind of give the president a hint of what he needed to do if he wanted to readdress this? Like, as long as you do a comment period before you cancel it, it's okay?
Oh, well, more than a hint. I mean, they don't even have to do the comment period. It said that, you know, that the initial memo, canceling Obama administration memo, didn't address these issues. It didn't have to come to a conclusion. It just said it needed to at least think about and talk about what the effect might be on the people who did it. So basically, they sent DACA back to Homeland Security to basically issue another memo explaining again why they withdrew the program in order to withdraw the program, which means that new memo will be sued, you know, in San Francisco. The whole thing will be put on ice. It'll have to go to the appeals court. And then it'll come back to the Supreme Court where they're just going to, I mean, at least it's, if Roberts is any indication, they're just going to decide for the administration anyway.
Right. Yeah. You worry about that based on the last couple of decisions coming out of there. You know, Mark, today there's a report in the USA Today about a Department of Homeland Security watchdog report that shows the challenge our border agents faced last year when more than 850,000 illegal aliens were apprehended along the U.S.-Mexico border. 850,000 people. It's no wonder they were overwhelmed. I'm waiting for the news tonight, though, to go back and start questioning kids in cages again, because that's what they default to.
Yeah, that kids in cages thing was, a complete crock. The reason it happened is that there are loopholes in the law that, and they're still there. It's just that because of the COVID thing, everything's been shut down at the border. But the loopholes say that if you bring a kid with you, the kid can't be detained and you can't be separated from the kid. Therefore, that kid is a get out of jail free card. You're released into the United States until the immigration courts get around to your hearing, your asylum hearing. You know, some 2-3 years, if they ever find you again, you know, I mean, it's that kind of thing. That was the point. And just quickly, kids in cages were because if a kid comes on his own, you can't just let him go into the streets. They look for relatives to hand the kid over to until his court case comes up. Well, it's Health and Human Services, federal department that runs that.
Right.
So when you have a kid, you're the Border Patrol. You get a kid. You hand him over to ICE. ICE does the detention. And then ICE hands him over to Health and Human Services. If that pipeline is backed up, the kids are stuck in Border Patrol custody. That the Border Patrol doesn't have – they're not equipped to hold kids.
Never
so
were.
What they did is they put up chain-link dividers in their offices to keep 17-year-old boys – from sleeping in the same room as 11-year-old girls. I think that's a good idea, and so did the Obama administration. But because they were chain-link dividers, it becomes kids in cages. It is a blatant lie that basically are saying they, the people saying that lie, are saying they think 17-year-old boys and 12-year-old girls should be detained in the same space. And that is an abomination, in my opinion.
And they don't want them detained at all, is also their point there. Mark Krikorian, listen, thank you as always. Great information.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Check out CIS.org, the Center for Immigration Studies. Great analysis of these immigration issues in this DACA decision. Quick break here. Small Business Showcase coming up. We'll talk to the folks from Been There, Dump That. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.